Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. The sun's shining. The temperature's good. We're getting close to all the holidays, Easter, Mother's Day. Everything's coming up.
Yeah, Easter, Mother's Day, Labor Day, Father's Day.
I know all the holidays are coming.
Yeah, I think, what is
And
it? Next weekend is Easter, I think.
the fifth.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah, I mean, things are moving along.
Yeah, they are. A little faster than I think I'm ready for.
Well, it's that time of year, and then everybody's retiring. I'm doing all these accounts right now for retirement. All these people are sending their money over. We're getting it out of the stock market, we're getting it to safety. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
And then we've got people coming in doing life settlements. So, it's a great time of year. It's a great time to be involved in finances.
Yeah. Now let me ask you, the people that are retiring, are they retiring like now, or are they getting ready for like the end of
No,
this year?
now. No, we had people that 60 days ago gave notice to us that they were retiring.
Oh,
So
wow.
we went ahead and did applications, we set up accounts, we got everything ready in advance.
Oh, okay.
So then when it came time, all they had to do was say, send the checks to them, and then they bring us the checks. We send them in to the insurance company, and we get them started, and they get
Okay.
their bonuses. Their bonuses are tremendous right now because they're putting in so much money in. Our people all have large accounts, so when they retire, their bonuses are fantastic.
Well, I bet they are. Yeah, and I was just, it's like when you say that people are getting ready to retire, I'm starting to think to myself, how much in advance do people need to start prepping? And it sounds like a month or two, and that's all it is, right?
That's right. A month or two gives us plenty of time to get everything moved over, the applications done, find out who they want to be the beneficiary. Most of them it's their wife. Some of them it's the wife and grandkids. We've got a lot of people that are raising their grandkids, that their children got in trouble. They had to take the grandkids and now they're raising them. And you wouldn't think at 65, 70, you would start raising grandchildren, but it's happening every day.
Yeah, I would imagine probably, and it's like not everybody would be able to do that. There's some
That's
people
right.
who aren't prepared, not only just, emotionally, but financially, they're not prepared to do something like that. And so,
That's right. A lot of them couldn't do it, but most of ours have set aside money for the grandchildren. If something happens to them, the grandchildren will be taken care of. They'll get payments every month the rest of their life.
It's been, and that kind of reminds me, it's been a while since we've really talked about, planning for things that come up in retirement. And it's been a while since we've mentioned like emergency money or something may come up and all of a sudden, something happens and you need a large sum of cash for whatever it might be, an unexpected emergency. And I guess raising grandkids would qualify as an unexpected, maybe not emergency, but expense.
It is an expense, and most of them, their kids are in grade school right now. And some of them, I've got one that's about five, that's a great grandchild they're raising.
Oh,
So,
wow.
yeah, I mean, so I've got a lot of people that are raising great grandchildren, grandchildren that they've had to take because the family didn't have anybody else to take them. So, we've set up for those grandchildren where if they should die suddenly, they'll be cared for. But what amazes me right now is while the stock market is up, we're trying to get all this money transferred before it goes back down, which is a good thought. A lot of people, if they're a little younger, they're going to do life settlements and then transfer to annuities. But I've got a lot of people who are doing both. They're doing life settlements and then they're doing annuities. The life settlements, are still paying good. We've had eight maturities since January.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've had eight maturities. So we've had several million in maturities. A lot of money is in people's banks accounts right now, and we're getting ready to get them some new policies, get them some more interest on top of what they've already made. And I think it's looking good for the year. We're behind on sales of policies because, we lost a big one like we did last year. But it looks to me like the premiums are very low on all the ones we're doing. So I think everybody's got a real good chance to come out, you know, on time or even a little early.
Have you seen, speaking of the market, have you seen, I don't know, maybe people calling and saying, yeah, I'm not quite as confident as I used to be. Let's make a move to something more conservative? Or
yes, I have a lot of people that are saying, you know, I don't want to go into retirement and then be in the stock market. They can't afford the risk because if it goes down, you know, they lose their holdings that they've worked all their life for. And the ones that are in precious metals, I worry about them a lot because it's not what it's cracked up to be. I didn't know it till I had some clients that got involved in it. And then when they got paid, they didn't get all their money back. They didn't get all their profit. And I don't understand all that. I don't know how it happened. I don't know if it was fees. It's the only thing I can figure out is they had fees that ate up the profit.
Jeez.
And then I've had people that, as I told you, were doing the VetCom, which we can't even see, and they lost their shirts.
Yeah. Wow, that's... It's sad. You know, people sometimes get wrapped up in, you know, something new and shiny and, oh, this is exciting and let's go do it. But we don't understand it. But who cares? It's fun until you lose your shirt or, you know, you get eaten up in fees.
That's right. So stay with tried and true. Stay with people in Texas. Stay with something that you know is safe. I mean, if you're 70 years old and you lose it all, it's not going to be funny. And we talked about the man over here at Lake Dallas that lost the $2 million. Mm. I mean, that's heartbreaking, very heartbreaking. So if you can, and it doesn't look too shiny, stay out of the precious metals if you're later in life. Because let me tell you something, if you don't get all your money back and it takes you 3 months to get it, it's not worth it.
Yeah. I mean, something goes wrong like that. I mean, you don't necessarily have 20 years to recoup that loss or whatever it is. And so, you know, especially as you get closer to retirement, it's like, you know, you could end up actually working until you're 85 if you do a wrong move or something.
And you don't want to do that,
no,
I don't think.
You
I
don't.
Think you want to be able to retire at 70. A lot of people retiring at 68, different amounts. But they're taking that money out. We're putting it in annuities where it's safe, where that they can draw the rest of their life. You know, that we're talking about 100-year-old companies. Don't be doing business with some company that's been in business 5 years or 10 years unless you know definitely where that money's going.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
even things that that people, I think, feel comfortable with, like you were talking the other week about, was it gold that it takes, what is it, like
60
weeks?
Days.
60 days?
60 days. And then it goes over to another company and you finally get it. So to me, that's not a comfortable position when you think you're going to get this amount of money and you're getting $60,000 less.
Yeah.
The Bitcom deal was a bad story. Somebody I know very dear to me went into Bitcom, had all this profit. And the time they paid all the fees, there was no profit.
Oh, oh,
you know,
man.
They got left at the altar, so to speak.
Wow.
So, you know, annuity companies, especially the one we deal with, has been in business 100 years. We're worth $60 billion. Don't be doing business with some little scrawny company that's worth, you know, $500,000. You need a lot of money behind you when you're doing financials.
Yeah, you need a solid foundation, not only with, you know, the financial resources, but with the time that they've been around, too. The more time people have been around, the more, you know, I guess there's an established base, I guess, whereas something that's maybe been around for, you know, 5 years, it may not have had time to flesh out if it's a scam or if it's not what it's cracked up to be. And so you need that solid foundation or you could end up losing.
When we do life settlements, we do it different than most companies that are in the business. We use a trustee. We don't touch your money. And every person that's doing finances, if they would use a trustee, you would always know your money's safe. But when they have the access to your money, sometimes a little greed slips in, and they play with the books. and it'll affect you. They're not insured, and you know, everybody's insured that we use. So we've got every protection in the world for our clients. We make sure that we're using Nevada Trust. They're insured. They're A rated. The insurance companies we use are A plus rated. And we thought about this years and years ago when we started 26 years ago, is use a trustee. Do not touch people's money. Always make sure the bank holds their money. And if everybody would have the bank like we do as a trustee, there would not be any scoundrels in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to have those protection and guidelines. And when you leave the door basically wide open, it gets awfully tempting to people. And sometimes they'll start out with like a small amount, and then it'll turn a little bit bigger. And before you know it, people are scratching their heads thinking, where did all the money go? I don't think it's very often now that we go, what, a week or two, or maybe even, you know, a couple of days without hearing some story somewhere about how some kind of fraud took place just because they don't have the security in place.
That's right. They did not do it. And then you don't know it for 5 years or 6 years.
Yeah.
And then when you call upon your money, it's sayonara. So we don't want to talk about people like that. We don't want to know them. But we want our people to have every guard that there is, every guardian on their money. And that's why we'll never do it without a trustee. It costs more to have a trustee, but it's worth it. It protects you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're not ended up in the papers with the people that have lost, you know, $200 million, you know, with some quick and easy scam.
And, you know, even Hollywood, that lady, you know, we talked about last week. You know, it's $476 million.
Jeez.
She was a child star, and you know, she trusted him. Her family trusted him. She got married. She had children. She thought all of her money was there. Then she was going to loan her son the money to buy a house. They had no money. It was all fake.
Wow.
They got all their money.
Yeah.
That's how they found out.
That's not how you want to find those things out. I mean, That's not a good surprise.
So. It was not a good surprise. And now they've sued them, trying to get all their money. Hopefully they'll get a lot of it back. We don't know what they put the money in, but we know they spent it on themselves.
Yeah.
Which is so sad. All they had to do is do it legitimately, charge a fee, and go on down the road. But they couldn't do that.
No.
They had to take all the money and leave them penniless.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like sometimes like you were saying, it may cost more, you know, to have a trustee and to do it the right way. But boy, I tell you, that little extra, and I don't even call it even a cost. I would call it more of an investment to make sure that you have those protections and the trustee and all those things, because a small investment like that can save people a ton of money down the road if they were to not have it and something went wrong. That's expensive to try to go after, you know, somebody.
It's an expensive lesson.
Yeah.
Like if you just have it at a regular place and you don't have a trustee and something goes wrong, how are you going to get your money?
Yeah.
But when you have a trustee, they're bonded, they're insured, and they're standing up on the side for you. So we love that. That's the best way to go. And our investments are doing good. We have a few bad policies still, but we hope we're going to get rid of those, and it should be smooth sailing, and people should again be making as much as they are. You know, they're averaging about 26, but we have a lot of policies that are paying a lot more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost seems like, you know, those couple of policies that you were talking about, those were ones that you had gotten very, very early, like several years ago, before you had all the advancements that you've got now. And so you've got data, you've got, you know, protections in place, you've got experience, you've got, you know, it's, you know, you can see those policies coming a mile and a half away with your eyes closed, and you avoid those like the plague.
That's right. But it took us years to find out that we had to protect the client, that we had to get the premiums down, that we had to be more careful. And we are now really careful. That's why we had so many come due in the last 2 months and paid off so good. And most of them paid really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are. And it almost seems like, I don't know, yes, the information is better. The experience, obviously, you can't beat experience with a stick, because it's more than knowledge out of a textbook all day, every day. But it just seems like the quality of the policies themselves seems like they have gotten better as well. And I don't know if it's just because you're picking, you know, different policies, maybe better policies.
I think we're picking better policies. I think we're doing a better job. And then maybe we're getting better policies that have come in. Yeah. You know, they've exposed us some really big ones, and we're not doing any great big ones right now because people don't seem to want to do that. But, you know, we've always done 2 million, 3 million. But we were presented with a $10 million one this week, and we turned it down. We said, I don't think they'll do that. But, you know, they're doing $1 million one and $2 million ones now. And people are investing, doing a great job.
Really? What would be, without getting into the specifics, what would be the advantage of a smaller policy like a couple million versus 10?
It goes faster.
Oh.
Yeah, people can do it real quick.
Ooh, okay.
And a $10 million policy would take 3 weeks.
Yeah, to fill it.
Yes. And you can do $1 million policy in a week, you know, maybe 3 or 4 days.
Oh, okay. So
and
it's about...
As you know, they have specific policies they like, you know, the breast cancer, colon cancer, pancreatic cancer, uterus cancer. Those are the four that people really like to invest in.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that whenever those come up, those go quickly, really hours.
That's right. And if you say pancreatic cancer, I can feel it before noon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does real well.
Yeah, and people know that because they've been in those types before, and they've seen it. They've seen the profits. They've seen, you know, when they mature, and it makes sense. From an investment standpoint, you know, you go with the ones that are the hottest, and you got the numbers and the historical data to prove it, and investors
right.
know it. So, yeah. So what did you say you have? You're working on? Oh, I forgot.
We're working on about three right now.
Okay.
And that one of them pays 37%. I think the other two pay about 30.
Whoa, that's. That's fantastic.
Yeah, they've got good profit. So it won't be a problem if we get these to slide them right in.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, those I'm and you're working on them. They have not been awarded yet, so don't.
That's right. We're just working on them, so we don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do you think, next week maybe, or?
Yes, I'm thinking of maybe by Wednesday of next week.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Then that's fantastic then. And the profits sound good. The policies sound good. So people, if you get those, hopefully you will, people should know about, middle of the week or so. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good. What about annuities? I know we were talking about those a minute ago, too. You say those are best for people who are closer to the actual retirement date, right?
Yeah, if you're 60 and above, annuity is a great investment. You can get it before you retire. You can get it when you retire. The facts are the same. We've still got the bonus of 16%. And if you put more than in 1 year, 2 years in a row, you're going to still get that bonus. So there's so many good things about our annuities. I think they are the best company in the industry because I'm exposed to a lot of annuities. Mm-hmm. I know which ones pay good. I know which ones that have the best investments inside.
So in pretend you have somebody who's never done any of this before in their life. They don't know anything about either life settlements or annuities. When they're comparing them back and forth and they're saying, okay, I know, you know, the profit margins that we were talking about, 30 and 35% on these policies you may be working on, those profit margins are fantastic. What would be the big draw, not counting like the time-wise, but what would be the big draw for annuities? What's the advantage there? What's the...
Okay. Remember, it's all tax deferred until you take it out. You've got every kind of safety net in the world. Plus, they've averaged around 10% the last 10 years. So annuities don't make quite as much, but it's steady. You can take 10% out every year. You don't have to take anything out if you don't want to. You can have multiple beneficiaries. You can do so many things with annuities. And annuities, you can't outlive them. You can take money out the rest of your life. So that's why we recommend annuities like we do. They're good for everybody. Once you get an annuity, you'll never go back.
And these are so conservative because we're talking about fixed annuities, not variable, right?
Oh, never do a variable. A variable annuity, you can lose your shirt because they have mutual funds in them. Ours have no mutual funds. We do indexes only. And if a stock market goes down, this has a stop gap, and it stops right there. It won't make anything during that month or 30 days or whatever it is, but it won't lose anything. Your principal's always safe with annuity as long as it's a fixed index annuity.
Okay. And I think that's probably important for people, especially when they're looking at the market these days. It's up and then it's way down and then it's just like a big giant bouncing ball at this point. And so people are probably thinking, I need something a little bit more steady, maybe something a little bit more conservative, something where I'm not like in all out panic, wondering if I've got anything left from day to day. And when is the bottom not going to come back up? You know, at some point, the ball may not bounce back up. And people have to be wondering that at this point, thinking maybe it's time to make a move.
Well, and a gentleman told me this a couple of weeks ago. He said, the reason I'm going with you, I need a Texan in charge of my account. He said, no more of these high flyers out of state that you don't know what you're going to get when you get it back. You know, first of all, it takes you forever to get it. Then you don't get the right amount, and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. So they came back to Texans because some of my other clients recommended me, told them what they're making, that they're making, you know, a great return, and they don't have any problems. All they do is tell us how much they want every year, and that's all there is to it. So, you know, it's getting a Texan involved in your accounts a lot better than somebody in New York City that doesn't even know who you are and doesn't care if they lose your money.
Yeah.
It's nothing to them. It's impersonal.
Yeah.
Remember that. They don't know you from Adam's Law Fox. They've never met you, and they don't really care.
Yeah. They have a different standard for how they make money off of investments than the investor does.
That's know? Right. Their standard is how much greed can I do here, you know? And I can put them in chicken wire. I can put them in hen houses, you know? And most people do not know what they have them in. I've had a lot of people come into my office, and I'll say, well, let me see your portfolio. They said, well, I don't know what I'm in.
Oh.
I mean, it's bad not to know what they've got you invested in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, wow. Unless they've got you in Warren Buffett stock, you know, you better be checking it.
Yeah.
Check it, see what you've got. What is it made? What are your fees involved?
Yeah. Fees, when you get paid. I mean, there's so many things now. It seems like, yeah, we've always known that most other types of investments, they're cyclical. You know, anything can affect it. You know, sometimes if you're in real estate, sometimes it's hot and sometimes it's not. Stock market, sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's not. Gold, we're starting to see the cracks in that, you know, with how long it takes to get paid and the fees and the Bitcoin, we're starting to see the cracks in that now. It's just like, okay, now you can lose all your profit in just the fees alone. And so it seems like there's all these different investment opportunities that have some, faults maybe that people maybe were not aware of before until recently. But you've been doing conservative investments, whether it's annuities, whether it's life settlements. You've been doing these for so long and been through any kind of market condition anybody could ever imagine. And here we are in the state of the world that we're in. And when other people are worried that do they have anything left in their portfolio, people who are invested in either one of these investments, life settlements or annuities, they're not up in the middle of the night. They're not checking the stock market first thing in the morning to see if I have anything left, because they know that nothing else affects them. They're completely self-contained because they are an insurance product. Am I saying that the right way?
That's exactly right, because we see investments every day, that are strange and that people are doing them. What if you had Popeye's chicken? They're closing all those. Sometimes these people put you in all these different fast food deals. They'll put you in all this, and a lot of them are going under.
Yeah.
It's not that safe. I mean, you would think people would check that before they put you in that. They'd say, how many of these franchises have went under? How many of them have closed? I don't think a franchise is where they ought to put your money. It needs to be safe. It needs to be in something that cannot let you down.
Yeah. And something that has some kind of a protection. You know, that like with a life settlement, if every policy was to come due today, they've got the resources to pay them out. It's not like they've got to go sell something or find it someplace. It's there. So,
well, they're all billion-dollar life insurance companies.
Yeah.
We don't buy anything from anybody that other than Genworth. Everything else is A and A-plus rated.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just, when you start looking at the foundational aspect of these types of investments, it seems like, it just makes simple sense. It's not even something that you have to have an economic degree in to understand. Just knowing that nothing else will make it go up or down. For example, you take out a life insurance policy. If it is to mature, the life insurance company pays 100% of the policy. They don't decide, we're not really sure about the market condition, or, there's war happening overseas, so we're going to pay 58% of the policy. So good luck.
No, they're going to pay the face amount every time, the face amount.
Every time. And so there's no discounting of the profit. There's no wondering, do they have the cash to pay it? There's no wondering, is it even going to be there tomorrow? Or,
and it's not like if you had an office building in Houston, Texas.
Oh.
They've got that one great big building they're trying to foreclose on. I don't know how it ever got into foreclosure. How did everybody move out of it?
Yeah.
Those are great questions,
Wow.
And it makes you wonder.
Yeah. And did you say, I'm trying to remember this. Wasn't there was it either a mall or an office building? I think in Dallas that they're converting into apartments or.
Oh, Bent Tree.
Yes.
Bent Tree, which was so famous out there in Plano. Macy's is already closed. Most of the big stores have closed. They're going to tear it down, build condos and apartments on that site.
Wow.
And that place was there. They had a four-story parking garage. That'll go. I mean, it's just amazing. It looks like a ghost town. And in Louisville, Texas, close to me, they lost their big stores years ago. And now Dillard's is only open a certain days of the week.
What? Are you serious?
They're not even open on Mondays. It's some kind of a discount place now. And everybody goes, what's going to happen to it? We don't know what's going to happen to it. There's some nice restaurants around, but it's not the mall that it used to be. People hate malls anymore.
Wow.
They want to drive up to the front of a store and go in.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I never thought I'd see that happen.
And Macy's has closed so many stores.
Oh, I know.
And they're a good company, but they've closed an awful lot of stores.
Yeah. Aren't they celebrating? Did I see the commercials for it's the 100th anniversary or something like that of Macy's?
I don't know. I just know they closed quite a few stores.
Wow.
And they're saying, they weren't performing.
Yeah, clearly. It's just, I never thought I'd see these times. I always thought that a lot of these stores and malls and all these shopping outlets would be here forever. I would have never thought that they would be closing stores and filing bankruptcy. Never in a million years.
Yeah, they just weren't profitable suddenly.
Wow.
And once a couple of the big anchors move out, it's over.
Yeah.
Because you can't sustain it then. You're not going to have the foot traffic that you need to make it a great place again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those small stores rely on the big box companies. And when they're gone, like you said, I mean, it becomes a ghost town and people don't want to go there. And then it snowballs and people just don't want any part of it anymore. It's sad, but here we are. So, Conservative investments avoid all these things. You know, we talk.
That's right. Don't get in malls. Don't invest in stores. I can tell you that. If the broker says, oh, you need to be in this nice store, and you go, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
Let's do something that does not have the expenses that those thugs have.
Yeah.
Let's stay away from that. Let's stay just financial.
Yeah. I mean, the overhead in those things alone, you start looking at that and it's just like, my goodness, there's so much costs that are involved before there's any kind of profit margin to begin with. And, you know, with like life settlements and annuities, we're not talking about, you know, buying stock to put in a store of trinkets. And we're not talking about, you know, buildings that we have to fill suites for. And it's just, it's.
And remember those $1 million salaries.
Oh, yeah, that too. Oh,
see, we avoid all that with our investments. We avoid all that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have the overhead. We don't have the expenses. And that's why it's a much better deal.
I forgot about this, the CEO salaries and the bonuses. That's
right. Even when they're fixing to go bankrupt, they'll go ahead and give them their bonus and their salary.
Yeah.
I mean, and then they're laughing all the way at the bank as it slowly rolls down the hill.
Yeah, and there's nothing left to even keep the lights on at that point.
That's right.
Oh, wow. That'd be a whole nother show for a whole nother day.
That's right.
Conservative investments, obviously, it's the way to go. I mean, it makes sense every way you look at it. Historically, what we're living through now, what you've seen before, the data backs it up, and it's got to be good on people's anxiety to know that when they see their friends maybe who are in all these other things, that they can rest assured that not only are they not losing everything, but they're thriving. Because people who are in a ton of investments, especially because diversified is almost like your theme word. People with diversified portfolios in a number of life settlements and a number of policies, even if they spread it over among annuities, these are all conservative investments and they're thriving. They're doing very, very well, and that won't stop based on any market conditions. So.
And remember, our annuity people have been with us for 23, 24 years.
Wow.
And a lot of them are dying. I hate to say that. They're getting old now.
Yeah.
They've been with us so long, it's hard to believe.
I know it. I know. And it's kind of a, I don't want to say it's like a wake-up call, but, you know, it's one of those things that kind of emphasizes, you know, when you're starting out investing and you're maybe starting out in your 40s or 50s and life settlements, and then you maybe start incorporating annuities. And then not only do you get up to retirement, but then you want to keep this going after retirement because you don't want to just stop the day you retire and just start hemorrhaging
cash.
No,
then they want to go all the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, then they want to be sure that they have monthly income or annual income and that they've got, like a lot of the husbands, they do annuities because the wife doesn't have to do a thing after they die.
Yeah. Yeah, it's already set up. They're protected. It's solid, and you know they know that they're taken care of. So not only do people put them up, you know, for their own self, or for their wives, but like you were saying before, people set up annuities for, you know, kids, grandkids, education, college, make sure they've got a foundation to start with. Some children. Older children will take what their parents may have started with, like an annuity, and then turn around. And if they've been educated properly, they'll take that, reinvest it, and keep that cycle of growing money conservatively going. So it's a good foundation for them as well. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
We're going to talk about Kyle, Texas.
Cool.
It's in Hays County. It started out as a railroad town, naturally. They were talking about, let's run a line between Austin and San Marcos. It was lined with cotton fields, livestock. And they decided to do it. And they had to run it through private property of Fergus Kyle and his wife, and more. And so they gave them $1, and a development land of 200 acres. So that's how Kyle started out. And the Tom Martin operated the first business in Kyle. He had a saloon and meat market combination.
What more do you need?
They opened four saloons the inaugural year. Can you imagine that?
Because three wasn't enough.
That's right. So then the Nance and Wallace family, they opened a cotton gin and a lumber yard. And by 1883, the population exceeded 500.
Ooh.
They incorporated in 1928 as a general law city with a mayor and five council members. And in 1937, Mary Kyle Hartson, she was the daughter of old Ferguson Kyle, was elected mayor by write-in. After winning in 1944 as mayor, all women signed the council, only Texas town with all-woman government.
Really?
Can you imagine? Yeah,
that's
only
cool.
Town in Texas in 1944. And it's also from 1892 to 1901, the childhood home of Catherine Ann Porter. You remember her? She was famous for her short stories, soon as Noon Wine, and her locations around Kyle. And now you can visit her places, everything that she did. But the most notable thing about this whole place is Kyle said, "We need to be known as the pie capital of Texas." And they were having a hard time. And they said, "The pie capital of Texas." They said, "Pie in the sky. We'll do air balloon festivals every year until we are nominated for the pie capital of Texas." And they would have these morning hot air balloons, mass ascensions. They'd take off at sunrise and fly over Kyle on Saturday and Sunday morning. And then glow in the evening. And so finally, they achieved their goal on June 8th, 2021. They were officially designated as the pie capital of Texas. I mean, can you imagine? And so they were having all these festivals every year to celebrate. And in 24, it became, they didn't have the money to pay for the balloon rides anymore. So that was really a bad situation. But there's a lot of notable people from there. Fitzhugh Andrews, composer. Gary Clark, the musician. I.B. Donaldson, the USF officer and flying ace. Robert Garza, football center. Otto Hoffman, who was the big organ builder back then. And Tex Hutchinson, he's our all-star baseball pitcher for the Boston Reds.
Wow.
And then Helen Michaelis. She's an expert on quarter horses. She's the first woman inducted to the American Quarter Horse Association.
Cool.
So we had quite a few people. But it is the pie capital of Texas. They worked hard to get the designation. And the hot air balloons helped a lot.
Silly question. did he just decide that they wanted to be known as the pie capital of Texas? Or
they really did.
Was there
a
lot of pies?
Well, they make really good pies, but they wanted this designation and they couldn't get it. So they started having the festivals and the balloon rides and pies, and everybody knew about it. So finally they were designated in 24 as the pie capital of Texas because of the hot air balloons they were flying.
Oh, my word.
But they had a lot of firsts. First woman, all women council anywhere in Texas. And that was in 1944. But everything has led to the pie capital. That's what they've worked for all these years. It's a little bitty town. Kyle is so small, it's ridiculous. They got up to 45,000. There for a long time, they were just 28,000.
Is there a pie museum or a lot of people like bakeries that make pies or
probably one person the whole town's making pies. I don't know if there's more than one or not.
It makes no sense to me. Of all the things to decide, that's the one.
And Catherine Ann Porter, you know, they built a literary center there in her name. Of course, you know, she was a Pulitzer Prize winner, but she's crazy, and she's married several times. She went to New York City, then came back. But she did a lot of children's books, a lot of different kinds of books. And she became famous, and her name really wasn't even Catherine Ann for a long time, but she made sure it was changed to Catherine Ann.
Wow.
But
that is cool.
Can you imagine? And of course, again, it was a railroad town, and they wanted to be cost effective. So they said, we just got to build this track straight from Austin to San Marcos. And it went through old Fergus Kyle and his land, and they gave him $1 and developed 200 acres for him.
They started with 200 acres and ended up with, what did you say, 200, how many people there? 28,000?
45,000.
45,000.
Yeah, I mean, but now that's modern times.
Yeah.
Back then, there wasn't but 500 people. And they wanted that railroad pretty bad, so they gave him $1 and developed the 200 acres for him.
And I know it's not what they want to be known for, but to have an all-woman government in 1944, I mean, put yourself...
It was unheard of.
I know it. Think about back in 1944. Women were not... how do I say?
They weren't even hardly driving a car.
There you go.
I know what you're saying. I mean, you know, they went to church on Sunday, came to town on Saturday, and that was about it.
Yeah.
You know, and the men did all the business, but not there. And she was led by a write-in vote. She became mayor with a write-in, you know. And it's the first and only town in Texas to have all women council, mayor, everything.
Now
so
that's
the women
cool.
were running the town. The women in 1944 were running Kyle.
That's rare to hear now, let alone back then.
That's right. Can you imagine a bunch of women running everything? Those husbands, I imagine, were walking the tightrope.
Yeah, they were. They were on a short lease, for sure.
And then somebody got the idea of all the pies, but said, how did we get to be the pie capital? Nobody wanted to give them the designation. So they started having the hot air balloon rides with pies and pulled it off.
That is the weirdest thing I think I've ever heard in my life.
And they didn't tell what kind of pies they had. It just says they wanted to be pie capital of Texas.
I mean, I have to wonder, were they sitting around in one of the four saloons and saying, you know,
imagine they had a meat market and a saloon together?
I know.
How many people would do that? And then they had four other saloons in town. I mean, they liked to drink in Kyle, Texas back then.
Well, yeah. What else is there to do?
I don't know, but they were cutting meat and drinking at the same time, I can tell you.
Well, they probably shouldn't be having sharp objects in the saloon.
They probably shouldn't have, but we don't even know if they really knew how to cut meat. We didn't ever hear about that.
And there's probably a reason why we don't hear about that.
That's probably they had to learn how to do it back when they had the 500 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
It's a good thing they stayed away from fire.
That's right. In the mix. I'm glad they decided to be the pie capital rather than something else.
The saloon capital.
That's right. They could have done that. Everybody had been too drunk to do any good.
Yeah. It might be passed out in the street, on the sidewalk.
In the 1800s, they probably did. They were very nice and didn't talk about it.
Yeah. Keep the secrets to yourself. Oh, my word.
That's right. Yeah.
I want to go just because now it's the pie cap of the world of Texas, and I don't know why. I just want to see.
Well, you'll have good pies. They'll probably tell you some good stories about the 1800s, 1900s, and the 40s when all the women were in charge.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. I got to go to Kyle, Texas now just because.
Everybody needs to visit Kyle and give me a report on the pies. Is the pies really that great?
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like if there's no, like, pie museum or...
No,
I mean,
no, they fly and they have pie.
They fly in hot air balloons and eat pie.
That's right.
I can think of worse ways to spend your life, so I really can't complain.
Right.
Wow.
And they worked hard for it.
They did. They didn't give up.
No, they didn't. In 24, they finally gave them the designation. And they've been trying for years and having the balloon races and the pies, and they finally got it. And that's what they'd worked so hard for.
So it's a newly crowned title, barely 2 years
old. That's right. 24. Took them a while to get it. Maybe they were having to work on the pie recipes. Can you imagine?
I think I'm stuck on the floor.
Okay.
Oh, wow. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
If they were smart, they would have some ice cream so they could be the pie and ice cream capital. That would be
That's
nice.
That's right. Maybe they didn't have a place to make the ice cream.
See, now you're thinking.
I know. I'm thinking about it. I mean, you've got to have a place, you know, a nice place to make ice cream. Whew. If they don't have a Dairy Queen.
They don't have a Dairy Queen.
Yeah, you can go to Dairy Queen and get your cones and go back and eat the pie.
Oh, wow. Oh, my word. Okay. So if you're not going to invest in something like a pie capital of Texas, being conservative is a good thing to be doing. So we were talking about all the wonderful aspects and all the growth and all the profitability and all the conservativeness and how people can actually invest and grow their money without ever having to worry about other kind of market conditions or anything else that happens to be the investment of the day. But there's got to be some kind of downside. So with a life settlement, there are two things that people need to know about. What's the first risk?
That's right. First of all, you must be accredited. So you must make $200,000 or you must be worth $1 million without your house. That's before you start anything. And then the risk is your premium. So you should always know what the premium is going in. And we always tell you, when we present the policy, we say, here's how much the premium is. Here's the story on the what's wrong with the person. So that's important. The other thing is, it's not liquid till it matures. So that's things you need to know. Annuities are not near that hard. They're not that complicated. With annuities, you must have savings. You must have monthly income to pay your bills. They need to see that you can pay your bills, or they will not do an annuity. But annuities are safe. They're very conservative, and we've been doing them for 23 years. So I can't recommend an annuity enough, because the companies are A+. They're $60 billion. So your money is safe. It's old line companies, and we're right here in Texas, been here all the time.
And I think you mentioned this before, but I just want to verify, the 16% bonuses are still in effect for annuities, right?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Is there any indication that those are going away anytime soon?
I never know. They could go away tomorrow. I wouldn't be privy to it because it's a huge company. Well, but they have kept them. They brought them down, but they brought them back. So I think we're safe for a while.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like because they were 16 and then went down to 14. But then it seems like they brought them back to 16 very quickly because I guess it was just on fire. And the feedback that they got was, this is too good to stop this. And so I would imagine it would be around for a while, if nothing else, by popular demand.
So, I think that's what happened. I think it was popular demand.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm trying to find literally some kind of, I'm trying to poke some kind of hole in either one, just to, aside from what you were already going over, and it doesn't seem like there's really much of a downside.
I don't think there is one. No, I don't think there's any downside. So, I've never seen a downside to an annuity.
How long does it take to get into an annuity? Is it a quick
process? About
a
week. Yeah. It's fast. As soon as they get your application and the check, they issue.
All right. Well, sweet. You're in.
Usually same day or the next day.
Oh, wow. So you're in quickly. It doesn't take
You're in quickly. You start making your interest immediately.
Nice.
So, and the bonus is in addition what it makes. Remember, you're going to make a profit. Has nothing to do with the bonus, okay?
Okay. All right. So this week, let's see. Good Friday is on Friday. Are you open on Friday?
I think we are.
Okay. All right. And I only mention this because, you know, some people take the day off on Friday. And so I wasn't sure if of course, people probably won't be waiting till the last possible second. But
I hope not. But people are getting ready to retire, need to call, need to talk to me. I can answer all their questions. We can go over everything. We can get it done. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.